Back to Ping. This is episode number 91. That's right, 91 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsoft is pinging each other about. And for those of you who are some of our long-term, old-school viewers, you notice we are back to our sort of regular set, slightly improved, slightly tweaked.
Yep.
But no more green screens, so therefore no more chaotic hyper rave scenes behind us giving our viewers seizures, as we've been told. So some of you will be happy.
Yep.
At least your hearts will.
Happy that we're back to the vintage two screen, three camera action.
We're standing, so we get a little energy, some blood flowing.
Yep.
Nice. And we wanted to make a comment about some of the things that people commented last week.
For sure.
The fact that Paul knows nothing about football.
Yep. Yeah, Dentaka
says he actually
liked that.
Therefore, I find him less of a man.
Yep.
Less of a man.
Sure, sure.
The Super Bowl was yesterday. Did you watch?
There was a Super Bowl yesterday?
The Super Bowl of coding.
Oh. That's super.
Thought you would have watched that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Baxia Bishek said, boy with the foy is good.
All right.
Yep.
I feel validated.
And me says, boy on foy winky face.
That's funny. Yeah. Grade school humor gets me every time.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's some separation between the two of us.
Yeah, you saw what happened when we tried to touch one time. Paul got cooties.
Yeah, it was like lightsabers hitting. And just
he'd
like,
never had a woman that close to him before,
ever.
So he started to sweat.
In the history of life.
As he sits at home with no football.
Yeah, just playing Halo.
It's really a sad life you live, Paul.
I know. Hey, how about we get the show started?
So for all you gaming families out there, you'll be hopefully pleased to find out that Microsoft has sort of released this new document that you can download. In fact, to be specific, Paul, it's a PDF.
Oh, it is a PDF.
It's a .PDF.
Sure.
So it's called PACT, P-A-C-T, and essentially it's for the families and the student, or families and the kids, or maybe teachers and students to sign. And it sort of says when you're allowed to go online, if you're allowed to play games by yourself,
right.
What ESRB rating of games you're allowed to play.
Yep.
And, you know, you both sign this, and you're supposed to abide by it.
Right, yeah. So PACT is an acronym that's supposed to stand for Parental Involvement, Access, Content, and Time.
Clever.
So it's supposed to be maybe like PIACT versus just PACT, since parental involvement is a bit of a long word to
read. Parental involvement is one word in the new Webster Dictionary.
Sure, of course it is. Unfortunately, that's too long to play on a Scrabble board, so maybe in our rematch.
But the way you play,
yes,
it probably would be considered a word.
Right, because
Paul cheats. Paul cheats.
Right. Paul cheats, Paul wins, what have you. Anyway, so
you say tomato, Paul.
And I spell it just the same way.
Yeah.
So, perfect. But anyway, this is kind of an interesting thing, though I don't know how effective it is. I think it really helps facilitate the conversations parents can have with their kids.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, how much signing a document is really going to influence some 12-year-old's
That's what
play.
I'm thinking about. You know, there's a big campaign going around called the No Phone Zone. Oprah's been promoting it. They have this whole PACT sign on Extreme Homemaker. You're getting a sense of the television I watch. Anyway, it's all about don't text and drive.
Okay.
And everyone's supposed to sign this pact or the pledge. It comes by various names. And then you don't text and drive. And I'm sitting there and watching all these celebrities sign it, and I'm like, you know they're on the phone in their car. Like, just
because you signed a pact,
I suppose you may be a more honest person than I am, but just because I signed a pact, I'm not telling me.
Yeah, plus, I mean, the students are under 18, so it's not like it's a legally binding contract.
You know, and I'm sure people are thinking about that.
I do think this is really interesting. It came out of, like, this one blogger who a couple years back was playing Halo 2 online, and there were like 641 curse words in a 33-hour time span.
And I believe it.
And that averages out to like 20 an hour. So, I mean, the only thing that really makes this clear is that he wasn't playing with me or my friends.
Because
that would have
been
like
more?
Far higher.
You know, I've noticed too that if you sign on to certain, you know, games on Xbox Live and your gamer tag clearly illustrates that you're a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Then the language gets worse.
Or better.
Well, dirtier. Depends what you consider good and bad. But, like, there's got to be a better way to maybe censor some of the language that kids are so, you know, easy access to hearing. And hopefully this PACT Yeah. You know, I mean, like you said, I do think it's a good way to start talking about it.
Right. And, you know, and the nice thing is that it also promotes, like, the different family controls and features built into Xbox. So, like, you can remove certain functionality, like you can prevent people from chatting with each other. You can put on time restrictions for how long you can play. So it has a lot of those great things already built into the platform itself.
Right.
But, like, if you're really looking to alter the amount of time your student or your kid spends online, just offer to play games with them.
Because talk to them. Yeah. Maybe say, hey, let's go outside.
Or just like, there's nothing that would annoy a kid more than playing with their parents. And the only thing more annoying than that is playing with noobs, and you're probably in both categories.
Right, I got you. So there you go. Just play with your kids.
Yeah.
Done. So in other gaming news, very exciting, a new game coming out for the Kinect later this year. A swimming game. Now, that may sound odd to you,
like, sure.
Because honestly, in the past, swimming games, even in, like, I mean, we're going to go date myself a little bit, but, like, when you play the winter games, like on your Commodore 128, anyway, you just, you know,
what?
stroke. It's boring. But the Kinect has found a way to make it interesting. We'll get to that in a second, but the most interesting thing about this game, IMHO, is that it's the Michael, you know what that means?
Yeah. I'm ho, yeah, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, oh.
In my humble opinion,
is that Michael Phelps is the brand of this this swimming game. Obviously, Michael Phelps being celebrated for his 8 gold medals
in Beijing,
the recent Summer Olympics.
Yep. Michael Phelps actually went to University of Michigan, which is my alma mater.
And look how far he's come.
I know.
Versus where you are here doing Ping.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't be anything without Ping.
That's right. We're going to sell millions of games for him.
Easily.
Right here today on this show. Obviously, Michael Phelps also known for some other things besides swimming.
Yes.
Got in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Not going to make a video game about that.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's kind of cool that you can have a 14,000 calorie a day diet, and now we know how he does that.
Right. How he eats that much.
That's right.
How he's constantly hungry.
And it's not because of the guys at epicmealtime.com. That's for sure.
Okay. I've never been to that website.
Oh my God. Possibly the best.
Am I just pulling the big L there?
Yes.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, the Turbacon Epic is probably the best video ever made and posted to YouTube.
Perhaps we'll throw to it.
Yes.
We went out and got a pig, and we got 5 birds to put inside of it. Turkey, duck, chicken, Cornish hen, quail, took the bones out of them. We made bacon croissant stuffing. We made meat glue from 1.5 pounds of bacon and veal pork sausage meat. Turkey, then meat glue, then seared duck, then meat glue, and bacon strips, 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 then layered the chicken on top, then the stuffing, and Cornish game hen, and meat glue, and quail.
The game is actually really cool. So when you go to swim to start, you know, you actually have to jump and launch, like you're launching over the pad, and then, you know, it performs based on your accuracy and your form.
Right.
And so I'm excited to play it. I'm excited. It's the first time I actually consider playing a swimming game.
Right. Yeah. I probably would have preferred just to be able to hit A, because there's nothing in this world that I dislike more than water sports personally.
Or physical activity.
That's probably what it is. It's physical activity.
Right.
And getting wet while being physical. It's just that's not something that I've ever really.
Not for Paul. Maybe for you.
Yep. All right, Laura, we talked about in a previous episode of Ping on how Microsoft was releasing an extension for Firefox that allowed them to have native H.264 support.
I shed some light on that subject for you.
Right.
I remember.
So let me get a chance to shed some light on the subject for you.
Sure.
Now Microsoft's doing the same thing for Chrome.
Interesting.
So I
kind of feel like that's a given.
Well,
that was coming.
Well, yeah, we also talked about how Google was pulling out H.264 native support from their Chrome browser and HTML5
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to commit to these open standards like WebM, but there's just very little content that is in the WebM codec format compared to H.264. So Microsoft's like, you know what? We do want everyone that's on Windows 7 to have a great experience on the web with video. So
nice
we're going to create an extension not only for Firefox but also for Chrome that will enable a support through the Windows Media Player plugin to run H.264
videos.
Because
everyone deserves the best.
That's right.
You know what? That we care about your user experience and we want to offer you, you know, the highest quality videos you can get.
Sure.
This is great.
And just I mean, overall, it's not just the quality of the videos, but
it's the
ease and the seamlessness of the experience. So
yes.
Being able to go somewhere and not get some weird pop-up or error code saying, oh, you can't play this.
That'd be terrible.
But there was a bunch of interesting articles out there that talked about this. One actually highlighted that if you look across the whole browser spectrum, mm-hmm. so IE, Chrome, Firefox, Safari, there's not a single...
Who uses Safari, really?
Mac users.
Well, not all of them.
Right, I would say a big portion of them, anyone that's on an iPhone.
Those people.
Yeah, so, you know, tens of millions.
Right.
But still a small percentage of the people on the web.
Right.
But there's not a single codec that by default natively plays like across all the different platforms. So I think that over the coming years there will be some standardization. But right now we as Microsoft are trying to.
Is this Paul's prediction?
Paul's prediction is not ready yet. But I think we are trying to do our best to make sure that the majority of content that's out there today in H.264 will be supported on all the major browsers.
Awesome. There was some light shed.
Yeah. A little bit.
All right, Paul, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a really good cook.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I can probably outcook you.
Really?
Yeah.
This is not going to happen.
Welcome to the main event.
Sure.
What's your favorite dish? What do you cook? What's your specialty?
My favorite dish is the turbacon epic.
That's nice.
Where it's a bird and a bird and a bird and a bird and a pig. You have to watch Epic Mealtime.
All right. But in the meantime, let's not refer to it anymore in this episode.
Sure. My favorite two dishes are chicken broccoli bake, which is delicious, and some homemade French toast.
Okay. You're just going to be put to shame.
My
favorite dish is probably this chipotle barbecue shrimp salad that I do. But, it's delicious.
Uh-uh.
It's mwah. I also cook a mean steak.
Oh, yeah?
I do, with a nice roasted potato with some rosemary and some dill. It's delish. Mm. Beyond that, you know what? I just want to complain for a second, if I may. Max! Old co-host Max.
Oh, yeah.
I did something really nice for him, you know, like I do for people all the time.
Right.
And he goes, I'm going to come over to your house. I'm going to make you dinner. So I'm like, sure, you know.
Wanted to make you dinner.
Max wanted to come to my house and make me dinner. So I'm like, this is great. Come on over.
I think I vaguely remember this from his perspective. Continue.
He's like, all right, I'm gonna come over. So I'm like, sure, he's going to bring all the groceries. So he comes over and he's going to make his world-famous quesadillas.
Yep.
And I'm like, I mean, I don't know how gourmet you can get with a quesadilla. Some tortilla and some cheese and another tortilla. But sure, Max. Anyway, he came over. He was so excited about these quesadillas, which were more like quesadilla soup. Drowned in just ragu. It was just crazy. But so Max is out of our chef cooking competition. I'd love to hear what you guys
think. Is that the real reason why he got ousted from the show?
That was it. So I think you should be in fear if you offer to cook me dinner.
Okay.
It's not good enough.
Oh, don't even worry about that. Don't even worry. If anything, you'll kick me off because I would have cooked too well.
That's probably what'll happen.
Yeah.
We'll film this.
Yeah.
In other Microsoft cooking news.
Yeah. apparently, cooking is a large theme here at Microsoft.
Yeah.
One of Microsoft's former former CTOs, Nathan Myhrvold, has created the cookbook of all cookbooks.
Yes.
$625. 2,000 plus pages.
Well, it comes in an acrylic case.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean,
it's all about like the most modern possible ways that you can cook, and they have.
It's not even really. I feel like it's not even cooking. It's like science.
Yeah,
you're
it's
eating like
a chemistry
lab experiments. He's got this lab set up here in Seattle.
20,000 square feet
with like centrifuges and like this all this biochemistry lab equipment and scientists, and they're figuring out. Ways, I think one of the dishes was he made this, and don't laugh, but pea butter.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Where he like centrifuged these peas and just took out the middle section of what was left and apparently spread it on some toast and it was delicious.
A pound and a half of peas in every bite.
Right, but you're only eating just the little bitty residue. Anyway, he's got this this book, which is really potentially the future of cooking.
Right.
And he used to be, did we say this? He used to be our CTO?
Yeah.
Okay, it's important to note that.
Yeah, because I mean, how else would he be able to fund this type of experiment?
Exactly. Or why else would we be talking about him?
Maybe because we all want to have some delicious pea butter, because peanut butter is a thing of the past.
This is true. This is true. Anyway, we'll link to it. You guys can check it out. It's got some amazing photography. He's also a an award-winning photographer.
Sounds about right.
So, I mean, this guy is multi-skilled.
Wish we
could get him back on board, on staff here at Microsoft.
He's also affiliated with the malaria-killing mosquito laser.
Yes, where he shoots it down.
Yeah, which is, like, the craziest thing that I'd ever heard of.
Right.
Can we see that one again in, like, slow motion?
Anyway,
I was hoping we'd do it in post-processing.
We might. You never know. You never know what Bob does. But after, he's got like all these different rooms with different breeds of mosquitoes in this cooking lab, mind you. So I don't know.
I wouldn't
go there for dinner.
I would.
You probably would.
Yeah.
I have eaten frog legs.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Mosquito wings are probably not as filling.
Or disease ridden.
Right.
One or the other.
But anyway,
the book.
Very, very cool. Very cool guy. Cool story. And maybe we can get a tour.
Everybody's got to have a hobby.
Right.
You know, we can't all watch The Bachelor.
Or play Halo Reach.
All right, that's it. We're calling it quits for this week. I hope you enjoyed our non-chaotic
vintage
background. We'll probably be for quite a while now. But you never know. Sometimes we switch things up.
Yeah. If we get some great background submitted by the community, like you guys,
That's true.
Maybe we'll do a green screen.
We'll use them. I want to tell everyone to remember to vote for the 90s.
Yes.
It's the Channel 9 Awards show. The winners will be announced at Mix 2011. And the link is there. And go ahead and pick your favorites in all different categories. And, vote for whoever you want.
Right. Maybe your favorite people that you follow on Twitter, like...
At Paul Mest. I follow him.
Right.
Constantly checking.
And I only retweet, and I basically only retweet you because no one is showing like what types of ideas I'm supposed to have.
Well, we dropped the ball for a little while. We need to reinvigorate that idea.
If people don't start tweeting on my behalf for me to retweet, I'm going to have to tweet my own ideas.
Nobody wants to hear that. Yeah, nobody wants to know what Paul's thinking.
And make sure to look at our Facebook page so that we can try and poke you.
Like it.
Yes, like it.
Like it.
For sure.
Okay, vote for the 90s. Bye.